All right, thank you, everybody. We are going to get started here. We can have a moment of silence, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Crocker, you have the roll call, please?
Certainly, we have Eric Davidson.
Here.
Karina Higgins.
Here.
Mike Hill.
Here.
Sonia Hurt.
Here.
Ryan Lopez.
Here.
And Richard May. Mary Lou Stewart requested the excuse.
I motion. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, so kicking off, we will start with Chief Kingsley and the Sheriff's Report.
Thank you so much, Council. I'm Donald Tansley, the Sheriff of Whatcom County. It's a pleasure to be here before you and the staff and friends, the community. This report is a generalization of what's going on with the Sheriff's Office. This is the first stop of many that I'm doing in different communities with Council, so I'm really pleased to be here today and honored to be here in front of you. And just so you know, I have so much gratitude to the City of Blaine, to the community of Blaine for giving me an opportunity to be the chief here. So in 2002, the Sheriff's Office, I'm going to start with calls for service with regards to incidents. In 2022, we had about 36,266 reported incidents. And these are incidents which the Sheriff's Office deputies had taken actual reports. In 2023, we were just shy of 40,000, so an 8.5% increase from 2022. Year to date, we've taken just over 17,000 incident reports. So if you look at the numbers, we're tracking a little bit below 2023. However, in the summer, calls for service tend to go up. In terms of crime overall in the county, for the last 2 years, we're actually trending in the right direction. It's a downward spiral with most of our crimes except vehicle collisions. I'll tell you, with regards to stolen vehicles, we're about 50% decrease compared to the previous year, and the same with vehicle problems. So I think we're doing a lot of good work. Our drug task force has been very busy. But not only the Whatcom County Sheriff's Office Drug Task Force, many other law enforcement agencies in our community and our federal partners have been busy as well. Without going into major details of the investigations the Drug Task Force is involved in, I will give you a few numbers. Just this year, we've seized over 10,000 fentanyl pills, over 17,000 grams of fentanyl powder, 1,300 grams of meth, and over 43 grams of cocaine. With regard to the issues that we have nationwide, but also the issues that we have in Washington State and in Whatcom County, opioid-related overdoses is a major concern. In 2023, in Whatcom County at large, that's all the cities included, reported by the Whatcom County Medical Examiner's Office, we had 130 opioid-related deaths. To date, and this information is recent, to date in 2024, we've had 44. So we're about halfway through the year. One death is too many, but compared to 2023, it's substantially lower percentage-wise than we were in 2023. So I think that's great that we're actually reducing that number. Again, where we want to be is zero. Just an organizational overview of the Sheriff's Office. For 2024, we have 224 full-time FTEs. In 2023, our budget was about $42 million, but with additional FTEs, that's going to increase. What's new? What's changing? What's been evolving? So we hired a new office administrator. Her name was Barbara Luton. On May 6th, we hired a new deputy director of emergency management. His name is Matt Klein. And Matt Klein came to us from Grant County Department of Emergency Management. Matt has a history here in Whatcom County. He was born and raised here in Whatcom County. In fact, he worked for Whatcom County Department of Emergency Management for about 7 years. And then his position was on a grant, was funded by a grant. Then that's when he went to Grant County. Now he's back. If you haven't heard from Matt, you will, because Matt will be doing something similar to what I'm doing today with all the different cities. If you notice on our social media, we have what we call Spotlight on Service. The Spotlight on Service is highlighting our employees that are not commissioned or limited commission employees. So basically, it's all our support staff. So if you haven't taken a look at that, please do. Accreditation, we are seeking accreditation through the Washington Association of Sheriffs and Police Chiefs. A few months ago, we had the director of WASPIC come down to talk to our command staff. 2 weeks after that, or I'm sorry, 2 weeks before that, we had their jail consultant liaison come and spend a day with our corrections staff. And the purpose of that is we wanted just to get a quick overview of our correctional facilities. As the city of Blaine is aware, I believe in 2017 there was a lead map study done here for the police department. So our goal is to have WASPIC come and do a lead map study in January or February of 2025 of the Sheriff's Office Correctional Facilities and the Patrol Division. So that will be two separate assessments. Most recently, we just assigned two new deputies, or when I say new, not new on the job, but new to the position, to the foothills. So that's the Kendall and Maple Falls area. So that started about a month ago. Most recently, the Sheriff's Office, we joined Internet Crimes Against Children's Task Force, ICAP. And basically, that task force is proactive and reactive, doing investigations and forensic examinations and criminal prosecutions for crimes against children. That task force has been in inception since for about 26 years. Our behavioral deputy program. So we have two deputies assigned, and they also work with two co-responders, and those co-responders are employed by Health and Community Services. So we have that program up and running. Currently, we are looking to expanding the Crisis Intervention Program, which is the 40-hour certification course. Currently, in Whatcom County, if you want to send a police officer or a deputy to be certified in crisis intervention, you have to send them to King County, Spokane County, Thurston County, and places that are really far away. It's great that they offer those seats. The downfall is that the training and the resources is specific to that county. So one of our lieutenants, he's working with the Criminal Justice Training Commission to work on bringing that certification course to Whatcom County, and that will be open to all our first responders. Of course, we have the Justice Center project. And if I'm not mistaken, the executive's office was here to report on that, I'm assuming about a month ago. So if you have any questions on that, let me know. Community Academy, we just graduated our first Community Academy last week. What's interesting about this particular class is that we reached out to Whatcom Community College and their criminal justice program. So they had 8 students that attended our 8-week Community Academy as an internship and credit. In the Community Academy, and it's free to anyone, 16 and over, if you pass just a sharp background check. They went over operations, budgets, patrol, traffic, our records and civil division, crime scene investigations, drone operations, SWAT, search and rescue, and use of force. The prosecutor's office is there to do a two-hour presentation, and this year we added the public defender's office, so that was there as well. Personnel and employment on the Bureau of Investigations and the law enforcement side, as of 5 June, we're going to have 105 FTEs. Believe it or not, we're about 95% staff. 95% staff. We've did a lot of hiring this year. We're projected to be about 100% in August. Those folks that are projected to be hired, they're in the process right now. On the corrections side, we have 95 total FTEs to include support personnel, but in terms of the commission positions, we have 84 and 7 vacancies. So if you know anyone that's interested in being a correctional deputy for the Whatcom County Sheriff's Office, please send them our way. And as you know, that right now for most cities and agencies and in government, this is budget time. So we are starting to look at our budget for the next couple of years. So again, I plan to see you and give you a report that's similar to this, maybe at least twice a year, if you have me. But I think it's important to let you know what's going on with the Sheriff's Office. And I might want to add, in terms of the jail, a cadre of people, including myself, about a month ago, we went to Franklin County, Ohio. That's the county seat for the city of, I'm sorry, it's the county which sits the city of Columbus. And we looked at their jail. It's a brand new jail, just built a couple years ago. It's massive, $350 million, I believe 300 beds. But the size is not why we were there. It was about their programming, the social services that they have, the technology. And it was really interesting and great to see a sheriff's office that most of their social services within that facility are employees of the sheriff's office. So they're doing some really great things there. Questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you.
All right, up next, North Whatcom Fire and Rescue Levy update.
Council members, good evening. I'm Jason Vandergan, the Fire Chief of North Whatcom Fire and Rescue. I'm here tonight with Bruce Hansel, the Board Chair of North Whatcom. And I'm here just to take a few moments to briefly talk to you about a levy lid lift that the Fire District has on the ballot this August that will be affecting your residents in the city of Blaine. So just really quickly, North Whatcom Fire and Rescue is officially known as Whatcom County Fire District 21. We serve about 34,000 people over 156 square miles in the county. We are the green area on the map. We serve the communities of Blaine, Semiahmoo, Birch Bay, Custer, Laurel, and the areas surrounding Linden. We also serve Whatcom County Fire District 4, which is to the southeast of the district around the kind of north end of Lake Whatcom. Which brings us to about 190 square miles. That agreement is through a contract for services. What we do is we are a fire department. We provide fire suppression, EMS, fire prevention, and public education to the residents and visitors of the fire district. We're accountable to our taxpayers. We are debt-free. We operate under a balanced budget. We passed all of our state audits for both funds and for accountability. In 2023, our call volumes were a little over 5,700 calls. This is a split between the four stations in the district. 71% of those are medical emergencies. 30% of those are overlapping. That primarily happens here in the Birch Bay, Blaine, Semiahmoo area. What that means in raw numbers is about 1,700 times we're having to pull units from outside of their first due area. So instead of the nearest fire station responding to a home in Birch Bay, Blaine, or Semiahmoo, we're pulling units from Linden or Laurel or Ferndale, which is a huge increase in response times. How we fund emergency services, Whatcom County Fire District 21 is a junior taxing district, as written into the RCW. So we are permitted to ask the voters to approve up to $1.50 per thousand of assessed valuation levy. Our current, the voters last approved a levy rate of $1.42 in 2006. So we're 18 years from the last voter approved levy. Our levy rate has dropped to 76 cents per thousand of assessed valuation. The last time we came to voters was in 2021, and the voters said no. The levy rate drops, like I said, because of their set revenue increases. Everybody understands the impacts of I-747, 1%. We're limited to 1% plus new construction. So even though property values rise, our levy rate falls, and we're doing the same amount of work with less purchasing power each year. This is called levy compression, and bottom line is that it impacts our ability to provide emergency services and grow the community. This is more of a Q&A type question for when we're delivering this to the public, but I think most of us here understand that our property taxes don't increase by the same percent as your AV. It's government makes it a wonderfully complicated calculation, but no, it doesn't. We're limited to that 1% plus new construction. For example, in Whatcom County Fire District 21, over the past 5 years, AV has gone up 78%, and our budget has increased 10.5% in those same 5 years. So we're falling far behind the cost of living and the cost of wages, apparatus replacement, building maintenance, all those things. As I said previously, the revenue is just not keeping up. Our fire levy rate's fallen from $1.42 to 76 cents. It's just making it to the point where the 1% revenue increase is not no longer adequate to meet the emergency service needs of the community. Some of our current challenges are the call volumes have doubled in the last 10 years. EMS calls alone have increased from almost 50%, and they're about 71% of the calls. As we know here in the Blaine, Birch Bay, Semiahmoo area, when you go to Bellingham, it's not a quick trip. So when an ambulance comes and transports a patient, they're off the books for about 2 hours. It can be up to 2 hours. And then you throw a train in there, and it gets a little more interesting. So there's time. And how we account for that 2 hours is they arrive on scene, stabilize and interview the patient, package the patient up, transfer them to St. Joe's, deliver them to the ER, report to the nurses there, clean the rig, drive back up here. It takes about an hour and a half, hour, 45 minutes to 2 hours. And that's with no train or weather delay. I just spoke about the train delays. We're all acutely aware of those. We know a fix is on the horizon. I hope to be able to attend the groundbreaking, the ribbon cutting at the Bell Street crossing. We need to be able to staff our resources. We need to be able to respond to our calls and rely less on mutual aid. We're not the only fire district or fire department in the county facing this compression. Fire District 7, who we borrow resources or trade resources with on a frequent basis, is facing the same compression. The city of Linden is having the exact same problem. And right now, it's a big shell game. We're all trading resources, but kind of barely hanging on by a thread. Station 63 in Birch Bay is about a 50-year-old flat-roofed building here in the Northwest. It's got significant water leaks. It's got significant seismic concerns. It won't even withstand a moderate seismic event. The training tower's already been condemned due to cracks and structural unsoundness. We also have to replace apparatus. Apparatus replacement is on a year schedule. It's not on a miles or hours schedule. So when we talk about buying an engine, that's a $1 million project. It costs $1 million now to replace a fire engine. We need to replace three engines in our ladder truck. And the ladder truck is $2 million. These are things that just have to be replaced according to the Insurance Rating Bureau on a 20-year schedule. And all of our stuff is old and it's coming due. So what are we asking for? What will this cost? We're asking voters for a levy lift of 34 cents per thousand. This would bring the levy rate from 76 cents to $1.10 per thousand of assessed valuation. It would cost the homeowner of a $500,000 home $170 per year or $14.16 per month. What will the levy fund? The biggest thing the levy will fund is the hiring of 8 more full-time firefighters to respond to higher call volumes here on the west side of the district, the Blaine, Birch Bay, Semiahmoo area. Those firefighters would be stationed at the station in Semiahmoo, which is a growth point for us. It would help fund the beginning of the replacement of Station 63 in Birch Bay. It would help fund the replacement of emergency apparatus that's reaching the end of its usable life. The election date is August 6, 2024. We have a primary ballot. That's generally when fire districts go to the voters. If you have any questions at all, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. Or, as I said, I have your counterpart, Bruce Ansel, here. He's the chair of the Whatcom County Fire District 21 Board of Fire Commissioners.
Thank you. Do we have any questions? I do have a few. So you're speaking of Station 63, so that's going to be a complete replacement, demolish and everything. And would you plan on rebuilding over that or choosing a new location?
The plan right now is to use the land we have to not have to relocate.
So strategically, that it's still a good location.
It's still in the perfect spot.
Excellent. All right, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Right, moving on to the consent agenda. So the items listed will be enacted by one motion. Number one, approval of bills, $294,559.23. Approval of May 13th, 2024 City Council minutes. Interlocal agreement on the public health, safety, and justice facility financing. Number four, electrical department service truck purchase order. And number five, precision concrete cutting sidewalk hazard repairs. Can I get a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? All right, consent agenda passes. Now on to council action items. First on the docket, executive supplements 5 and 6, the Bottle Street traffic, channelization, and corridor improvements. Mr. Gunn?
Yep. Thank you. This was actually supposed to be a consent agenda, but I thought, and working with city manager, that we should explain why we are actually requesting this supplement 5 and 6. So if you look at the supplement 5, when we did some geotechnical testing and for the lamppost, there was a price increase for R&E, and that's what supplement 5 is. In the supplement 6, it's basically since we have federal dollar we use, we have to have a full-time construction management available for completion of the whole project. So that is what is raising the cost now, and it is a requirement by WASHA.
All right, do we have any questions?
Do I understand that we've already voted for the channelization to occur? This is just a vote to increase something that the change?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
And when this is all said and done, are we still on track for construction? And when exactly is that date?
We are just waiting for WASHA to approve our it should be pretty very soon, actually. It's with WASHA right now for approval.
And then do we know on the duration of how long that area is going to be shut down?
We actually have estimated for 75 working days.
Can I, let's see here, resolution number, can I get a motion to approve supplements 5 and 6 for Poplar Street traffic, excuse me, channel vision?
Motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you.
On to resolution 1948-24, updating the fee schedule for the police department off duty officers.
So I have this fee schedule update. We occasionally, the police department and the city, we get requests for off duty officers for a variety of reasons, for special events, traffic control, security events. Some recent examples of Scottish Highland games that are occurring this weekend, Ragnar relay race that happens every year through this area, and we do not have a fee schedule in place for the event organizers to pay the city for those services. So this resolution is to ask for a fee schedule to be added for those services. We have an agreement that we drafted with legal for those event organizers, and in doing so, I work with finance to get the true composite rate for the officer, for the highest paid officers. We knew what it would cost, and that's what it accounts for.
Do we have any questions? In regards to how this was handled in the past, a few years ago, Highland Games came to town, how would they go about? Would they just ask the police department, hey, what is it going to cost to hire off-duty officers?
I can't speak accurately for how it's been handled in the past. I have asked, I think that we have hired officers in the past and then potentially billed them for what the actual rate for their salary was, which is not the actual composite rate for what it costs the city. So just throwing out a random number, let's say it costs $45 an hour for overtime rate for that officer, that doesn't take into account what the city's paying for retirement, health care, social security, all those other benefits.
And then in terms of risk to the city, is there an additional risk of bringing this on?
Our attorney has reviewed the language. We've modeled it actually similar to Whatcom County and has embedded some hold harmless arrangements and other things that protect our interests. So this is a component. The other component would be an agreement signed with the entity that releases us and holds us harmless to the most extent.
How many hours a year do we anticipate that this might be needed and will have an undue strain on our current manning?
Yeah, it's off-duty overtime, and if we don't have the staffing, we don't agree to it. An example of that, unfortunately, the Scottish Highland Games, I'll talk about this later in the department head update, but we recently lost an officer that lateraled to another agency, so we no longer have the staffing availability to help with that. We're declining that off-duty overtime. So it won't have an impact because if we can't manage it, we won't agree to it.
Well, that's really, really unfortunate because that's going to be a very difficult situation.
We have the first right of refusal. So Blaine Police Department has declined. It has gone to the Sheriff's Office for deputies to be hired on overtime.
Oh, so they'll be done.
They're soliciting overtime with deputies right now, but because it's inside the city limits of Blaine, it goes to us first. And so long as deputies agree to the overtime, which I'm told they more likely than not will, then we will have extra patrol staff. And we have two officers on duty that day as well.
All right, if there's no further questions, can I get a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All of them there?
All right.
All those opposed? That's a 6-0. Number 3 on the list, ordinance 24-3014, amending Blaine Municipality Code 17.124.115. Mr. Wagner?
Yes, good evening, Council. This is the parking zoning text amendment that would change the amount of parking that would be required for on-site development downtown. So if someone were to build You know, a mixed-use project, say with a restaurant and some apartments above, this would change the amount of parking that would have to be provided on-site for those residential apartments. Or if someone were to build just an apartment building, again, that would change the ratio. It just doesn't impact commercial development, only residential projects, and only in our downtown area. So this is not citywide, this is specific to downtown. So the city staff has been working on this project for a while now, since 2022. Through the direction of council, there was an ad hoc advisory committee form. They worked on this for a while. Then our planning commission worked on it for a number of meetings. Our planning commission called a special meeting on May 15th to wrap up this parking recommendation. So I wanted to thank them for moving through the process and having that extra meeting to get this before council this evening. Council's options this evening are rather limited. So you really have to just receive the planning commission recommendation and then set a meeting date to consider the planning commission's recommendation and the proposal. So I will be brief, and I'll have a bigger presentation when you guys would like to hear this full recommendation from the planning commission. But at this point, there is a unanimous recommendation of approving this zoning text amendment. If you look at figure one in the request for council action, you can kind of see how the proposal would affect the amount of required parking. I would also point out that this is a voluntary parking mitigation program. So a developer could build to what's currently shown as the existing regulations and provide that much parking, or they can opt to pay a fee in lieu of providing that amount of parking, and then go down to that minimum that's shown there as proposed. So with a payment of a fee, they would be able to potentially build less parking. So you can see some of the ratios there. For example, studio parking is about a 50% reduction. A one bedroom, you know, goes down about 25%. A 33 1/3% reduction for a 2 and 3 bedroom. 4 bedroom would be the same. And if someone were to build a larger unit downtown, like a 5 or 6 bedroom, they would actually be required to potentially put in a little bit more parking. So just that's a quick overview. The proposal does cap the amount of parking that would be transferred into the public right away at 120 stalls. And so the idea there is that there would be a limit to how many people could take advantage of this program. So that's just a quick overview of the proposal. There is a supporting resolution, Resolution 1946-23, which talks about some of the things the city could do with parking funds downtown, things that the city may consider in the future, for example. Those are non-binding items there in that resolution. And then the ordinance would actually change the code. So at the meeting that council chooses, you could approve all of those under one motion, for example, or you could look at them individually. And at this point, we'd be recommending your next meeting of June 10th to set this, but that is up to council's discretion. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
All right, thank you. Any questions?
I have a question. If we put this forward to the meeting, will there be information available to us about the formula for that in lieu fee?
Yes, thank you. Yes, staff will be recommending a number for that in lieu fee as part of your packet that goes before you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do we need to have an open forum for this as well? Public hearing for this.
Another great question, thank you. I should have covered that. No, that is the job of the Planning Commission. So the Planning Commission held the public hearing. Public hearing is now closed. Council has a number of options before them. Public comment period on this item is closed, though, but as a legislative item, you do have a number of options available for you. For example, if you feel it's in the public's better interest, you can have your own public hearing and deviate from the Planning Commission's recommendation. But as it is currently being proposed, no further public comment is allowed.
And the Planning Commission was totally for it.
So Planning Commission unanimously voted for this, yes.
A modification?
They, that's right, they modified the proposal and then voted on it.
So the proposal coming before us is modified from what may have been originally suggested. The Planning Commission has tinkered with this and fine-tuned it, and then unanimously voted on the amended and modified version. Is that correct?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor. Yes, yes, absolutely. That is exactly correct.
Thank you.
Did the Planning Commission look at the fee schedule at all? Do they have any recommendations for fees at this point? Or is that all up on us?
The Planning Commission is not a fiscal body, so we advise them to stay away from fiscal matters.
So in 2 weeks or whenever it is, I would like to have some sort of idea, you know, dollar-wise, what other places are doing, as well as I wouldn't mind looking, seeing some comparison, at least to the county, about what their ordinances have for downtown and fair haven type parking, that kind of thing as well, just so we can kind of compare and contrast. I mean, I feel like we already have better parking in Blaine than they do in Bellingham, but it'll just be nice to look at it. Yeah. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, we'll bring forward a separate resolution with that information in it.
And when we have this parking study done, that all plays into part of this too, right? You look at all of this. And the parking study, pretty much the Planning Commission says yes, you guys are saying yes, and the parking study people are saying that we don't have a parking problem, correct?
Mr. Mayor, yes, that is essentially correct, sir. Parking study provided a little more information, talked about best management practices for our public parking supply downtown, and the parking inventory component of it was done in February, just to be completely upfront about that, and we made note of that, and we feel like it took a good we collected a good piece of data, but that data was, in the winter season. But the parking study included a lot of other information as well.
So they didn't do this study on July 4 to see whether there was sufficient parking available at that time?
That's correct. They did not do that.
Mr. Winger, I have read all of the emails that were sent to the Planning Commission. Every single one of them was in opposition of this. To get hold of all the actual verbal testimony, do I have to listen to the entire tape of that public hearing?
Yes, we will have draft minutes available, but they will not be so specific. The Planning Commission minutes are action-based minutes, and so we do not say subjective public comment information in there. And so if you want to hear exactly what people said, you will have to listen to the minutes.
All right, if there's no further discussion, can I get a motion for City Council to receive the Planning Commission's recommendation to set a meeting date to discuss the proposed text amendment?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? 6-0.
And just to confirm, sir, that's your next meeting, June 10th.
June 10th. Yes,
thank you.
Okay, moving on to Commission, Committee, and Board reports.
Feedback. Yes, I'll field this one. I did want to report that our Blaine Tourism Advisory Committee had another 3-hour retreat style meeting on May 21st, just last week. And I thought it was a pretty great meeting, honestly. We looked at a lot of long range or kind of big picture ideas, more like a strategic planning session, really. We did go through our tourism and marketing plan. We did some exercises on, high rewards, high cost, we're breaking it into different categories that we're still working on that information to, tally up all the results from that. But it was a productive meeting, and we're planning to open the tourism grant application window, I want to say June 24th, that will run through July and into August. So we'll have a nice long application window, and then BTAC will meet again in September to review those applications. Did I miss anything, Councilmember Hurd?
No, but I wanted to share with the City Council that we hope to have Mr. Andrew Tinnen And from St. Helena Resort, he's the new manager, and he's interested in attending our BTAC meetings. Yeah, the gal that was the representative from Semiyama is no longer with them, so we have that vacancy, and he was very interested in getting to find out more about. So hopefully you'll see him here soon.
Oh, and two other kind of housekeeping items with the Blaine Tourism Advisory Committee. They did confirm affirm that the grant that was going to the Chamber of Commerce for Oyster Fest can be reallocated to the Spring Block Party, and Oyster Fest will happen in October. Kind of a long story, but the city contracts with the Chamber of Commerce to host four major events, and we just changed the name of this first one from the Oyster Fest to Spring Block Party, so I just wanted to mention that. And then the committee also is recommending a budget amendment, which we would bring forward to council to allocate $15,000 to a mural on G Street Plaza. Or next to G Street Plaza. So to try to get the mural program started. So
I'd like to point out that because this is coming from BTAC, we can have more control over what that mural will be. There's been a lot of discussion with Margaret Owens, and she's very much in favor of artists having no reins at all on them, anything they want to put there. And there was a lot of concern about what that very visible mural would be. So now we'll have many people looking at it to ensure that it's something in tune with what Blaine sees as their image. So that, I thought that was a really good option for us.
I like a mural of the clover being in here.
That's all my time.
And then I guess a quick side note with that, some of the ideas that came out of that meeting, are you able to email us? I'm just curious.
Yeah, we will be able to do that. We're still compiling those and working with our committee members. So as soon as that is ready, we'll be able to report on that in the future.
All right, moving to department reports. Mr. City Manager.
One update tonight. We did receive a letter from Colchin Community Land Trust. Their leadership is changing at the end of the month. And the incoming leadership has said there's too much on their plate right now, and they're not interested in moving forward with our affordable housing project in downtown Blaine. So we're sort of back at square one. Madrona has expressed interest, in picking up that project and running with it. However, Madrona is a for-profit company, and so before we were to award a letter of intent or an option to a for-profit company, we should put an RFP out and give everybody an equal opportunity to compete on that. So that's where we're at. Stay tuned. Staff just learned of this last week, and we'll go back to the drawing board. Still good project, still worthy to support, but we need to start it in. That's all I've got.
And I apologize, Chief Hawk, I skipped over Civil Service Commission meeting.
Hi, Deputy Mayor. There we go. My apologies. We held a civil service meeting today, and I requested a change to the rules specifically for hiring police officers for the definition of what a lateral officer is. Previously, under the previous rule, a police officer that was certified as a peace officer in the state of Washington but had less than 2 years of experience would have to compete with entry-level candidates that had zero law enforcement experience. So I just requested a change to that rule to change the definition that if they are currently certified by the Criminal Justice Training Commission, that they would be qualified as a lateral. That allows us to consider an applicant that we have right now that came from another agency, has less than 2 years experience, but would like to work for Blaine. If we did not make that change, we would not be able to consider that candidate at all. So I think it was a worthy change, and they voted to approve that. I am going through the civil service rules with the commission, see if there's any other changes that need to be made just for cleanup. So that's a work in progress. Also for hiring, we have oral boards scheduled for June 7th tentatively. As I mentioned earlier, we do have one vacancy in the police department, and so we're moving forward with the hiring process, researching for an applicant for that.
Thank you. And back to department reports, Public Works Department.
For me, I just wanted to update you on the CETA audit that we are currently going through. So CETA is basically Clean Energy Transformation Act that has been regulated by the state. Under this act, we have to have a CEIP that's called as a Clean Energy Implementation Plan with the city. A few things that are required is greenhouse gas emission content calculations. We have to have fuel mix. We have to have low income assistance program assessment and all these criteria. So we don't have our CEIP plan because we reached out to state last year when we were actually asked to have an audit, like CETA audit completed. So we asked the state what exactly needs to be done and they said like, we don't know either. So just to let you know that we will have audit finding for till 2023. That's what the current year is and we'll, because we had a RFP out actually currently. It will cost to hire a consultant. The cost is around $45,000 to $50,000 just to get a CEIP plan done. So this is what my finding.
Okay, thank you. Continuing on, Department Report, Police Department, Chief Officer.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. The officers with the Police Department, they've been busy. I've asked all of them to do program assessments for all the specialty assignments. As we know, all of our officers wear many hats. They have lots of different responsibilities. So they're kind of giving me a state of the union right now with, you know, all of our like, firearms, AEDs, our drone program, our evidence, evidence on it right now. Not that I expect any problems, it just gives me a, like I said, state of the union to see where we are, to see if there's any course corrections that need to be made. So working through that, getting a complete control of our assets, just to make sure we're up to date, we can budget properly for what needs to be replaced. So they're working real hard for me on that. I've already mentioned the opening that we have, we're moving rapidly forward with that. One other thing is Drayton Harbor, Semiahmoo. I know that there's been a lot of requests for extra patrols out there, so I've directed our officers to do extra patrols. They've done several. I've also reached out to my friends with the Sheriff's Office, and they have sent a motorcycle deputy out there to do extra patrols as well. So we have had some impact out there and some visibility, and we got a really nice email from the Semiahmoo community that they've recognized that as well. So that's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you. Looking ahead at calendars, time on the list.
Are we going to have community services report?
Okay.
Community
services?
Mr. Allison?
There's nothing on the agenda, but no.
We were having all the departments report.
Only the ones that have news.
Oh. Oh, I'm sure they have news.
Well. All right, Council, unfinished business, anything to discuss? If not, written public comment submitted to City Council, included on the City's website, and public comment received prior to 3 p.m. on the day of the Council meeting will be entered into the agenda packet for that meeting.
I have a question on that.
Yeah.
I know you're really busy, Mr. Crawford, but what is the time frame for getting these minutes posted on the website?
In terms of the minutes for tonight's meeting, that's...
Well, any meeting in general, I assume you do them all.
No, that is only for City Council meeting and Civil Service Commission meeting. Yeah.
Okay. And how long is it typically for you to get them up?
So, I guess... Mr. Chair. So generally speaking, what happens is, especially for after City Council meeting minutes, we go through and we listen to the recording to make sure they're absolutely correct, and then the draft minutes will get posted on our city's website, generally speaking, the Friday prior to the Council meeting, because that's when the Council agenda gets published. Yeah, but all past minutes, recordings, and agendas, agenda packets for roughly 100 years, except for recordings, is all on our website. Yep.
And there was an issue... A person brought up the fact that they had listened to one of our public hearings. I think it was just general comments that were made to City Council when we were allowing them. And they made the comment that they had been speeded up a certain portion of that. Can that be a glitch just in the recording, or would someone actually have the ability to modify them?
So I know exactly who you're talking about. I've spoken with this individual several times regarding the matter. The recording was not purposely sped up by any individual of city staff. IT contacted the vendor, which is JAVS, our recording system here. JAVS came back and said there's no way for us to speed it up. It's unfortunate it happened, and...
So it's just a little glitch?
Yes.
All right, thank you. On to council new business and dialogue. Okay, if not, I will go ahead during this meeting at 6:51.